Hi, everybody. It's Dr. Eric Quorum, founder of AIM7. Welcome back to The Blueprint, where we distill cutting-edge science, leadership, and life skills into simple tactics optimized for your busy lifestyle and goals. Today, I am thrilled to have my friend, Alan Aragon, back on the show for the third time. Alan is a respected nutrition researcher. What I really like about him is that he just cuts through the crap and he gives it to you like it really is. He has over 30 years of experience advising everyone from elite athletes to general population clients. And he's here today to talk about his tiered deficit approach to fat loss. And he's going to reveal how to customize your diet for better results without avoiding common pitfalls. We'll dive into research on calorie deficits, diet breaks, maintenance phases, and how to get lean the smart way. And if you're a nutrition nerd like me, I highly recommend you check out Alan's monthly research review. I'm a paying subscriber, and I find that it's packed with the latest science on nutrition. And as always, Alan gives an unbiased review of what's in the literature, and I find it incredibly useful. If you're a fan of the Blueprint podcast, please do us a favor. Leave us a written review and rating on whichever listening platform you are joining us from. It would mean the world to me. All right, let's get right to it. Let's lean in and learn from the best. Alan, it's great to have you back on for the third time.
Oh, it's really great to be here, Eric. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
I have a lot of respect for you, the way that you carry yourself, your authenticity. I'm delighted to have you back on the show to talk about some new stuff today. So let's start with the tiered deficit approach to weight loss. What is that?
It basically means that the more body fat you carry at the start of a program, then the more room you have for a more aggressive caloric deficit. That's because your fat mass reserves give you some safeguarding against the loss of lean body mass. And it's just kind of the way it works. If somebody is in a state of obesity at the start of a program, then their caloric deficit can be large, like above 20%, like 20 to even 40-ish percent below maintenance. Now, the other tier, the lower tier, if somebody is normal weight to overweight, but not obese, then that deficit would be typically somewhere in the 10 to 20% below maintenance range. And it's just because the leaner you get, the greater the threat to lean body mass as you're dieting. And this has been shown in various lines of evidence. Most memorably, maybe, was Garth and colleagues who took a look at elite level athletes of different sports, a range of mostly mixed endurance type sports. And actually, you know, I'm mixing up my research here. That was a fast weight loss versus slow weight loss study. But yeah, you could relate it to a deficit as well. So what one of the groups was on a more aggressive deficit to the degree that they lost 1.4% of their body weight per week. And so their deficit was closer to the, that was definitely above 20% deficit. And the other group lost 0.7% of their body weight per week. So those were the targeted rates of weight loss. And so the slower weight loss group retained more lean body mass. And this was in subjects who were already relatively lean because they were athletes. And so that's probably the most memorable bit of evidence showing that when you impose a large deficit in people who are already lean, then you stand to strip off an undue amount of lean body mass from them. Whereas, you know, you take a group of people with a lot of excess body weight, then the majority of their weight loss is going to come from body fat. And frankly, it's okay for some populations to lose lean body mass. The percentage of lean body mass, even within adipose tissue or body fat mass, is roughly 15-ish percent. So it's about 15% water. And you're going to be losing a certain amount of lean body mass anyway when you're losing fat mass. But the lean mass is just preserved better when you have a lower deficit as a leaner person.
What are these cutoffs? So what would be a 10 to 20% deficit? Like what percentage body fat would you say that would be where you'd want to start versus somebody that's 20 to 40%?
Yeah, there's really no hard and fast cutoffs there. It's not terribly concrete, but we can start by looking at what is an appropriate or healthy body fat range for the sexes. So with men, it's roughly 10 to 20% that would constitute a normal and healthy body fat percent. Sure, there are leaner and more athletic populations that are below 10%, but when we're talking about the general populations and just statistical norms, roughly 10 to 20% is appropriate for men. So therefore, if somebody is above 20%, then you're in the territory where you can possibly justify a more aggressive caloric deficit. With women, that normal healthy range of body fat percent is roughly 20 to 30%.
Okay.
And the same thing applies. There are going to be female athletes who are lower than 20%, like in the mid to high teens, and that's perfectly fine. That's that specific population. But speaking of the general population, 20 to 30% in women, and if a woman happens to be, let's say, above the low 30%, then you can justify a more aggressive caloric deficit. Now, with those ranges being presented, I wouldn't be somebody who automatically jumps to a large caloric deficit, because I'm a fan and an advocate of slower weight loss, because there are exceptions where people would want to lose weight pretty rapidly, like if they have a family reunion or they're doing a physique type of photo shoot or a contest with a very hard and fast approaching deadline.
Or you're training somebody for a Marvel movie.
Yes, they have to look a certain way for a movie shoot, right? Yeah. We're in LA. We know all about that stuff. So, okay, so there are those occasions, but I mainly am an advocate for people losing body weight kind of gently and slowly over the long haul, because it's during this time that they can change their habits and actually maintain their weight loss and maintain their target body weight once they get there.
Have you heard about collagen peptides? No, it's not something you inject, but a short chain amino acid that comes from the collagen of animals. You can actually take it as a supplement, and I've been using it regularly for a few months, and it's made a huge difference in joint pain, my skin health, and the research on this stuff is amazing. A recent randomized control trial demonstrated that 12 weeks of supplementation with collagen peptides reduced pain at rest and during daily activities such as walking, climbing stairs, kneeling down, in healthy adults experiencing hip and knee joint discomfort, and that is probably a lot of us. My wife is even using it now. We use it in our coffee every morning. It dissolves quickly and you really can't even taste it. And my preferred collagen supplement is Bubs. I recently had their founder on the Blueprint and I absolutely fell in love with their story. Their products are fantastic. As a matter of fact, I've been traveling with them now, and you can get a 20% discount when you use the code Blueprint in all caps and the special link in the show notes. Check it out. I think this is a supplement, one of the few supplements that has a lot of good research behind it that I'm actually recommending. So give it a try, see if it works for you. How long should somebody be in a caloric deficit before they come back to maintenance and then kind of dip down? Is that a person by person basis, or do you kind of have rules of thumb you like to follow? Shouldn't be in a caloric deficit longer than X weeks.
Yeah. I guess the closest rule of thumb that I have for that question is that I noticed that most people need a psychological break from dieting after roughly every 5 to 10 pounds lost. So that can take, you know, it really varies. I mean, if you use the pound a week benchmark, like every 5 to 10 weeks, then somebody's going to need a break. And by the way, I'm not at all against losing body weight slower than that. Like, because, I mean, gosh, half a pound a week, you're looking at 25 pounds a year, which is tremendous. I mean, if somebody loses 50 pounds in 2 years, then if we can figure that out, we solve most of the world's problems right there. But in any case, every 5 to 10 pounds that people lose, they tend to get this sort of psychological diet fatigue, maybe some physical fatigue from the process of training and dieting, and then you pull back. After every 5 to 10 pounds, you can take a diet break that consists roughly. I prefer to see like a week. Typically, when somebody takes a week long diet break, they don't have too much of a chance to go off the rails and fall off the wagon and start really kind of going off of the path. So 7 days of non-YOLO, I call it non-YOLO maintenance. YOLO means you only live once and you're doing the two-handed diet and you're like, yes, this is my diet break. This is my time to eat as much as I possibly can. Well, yeah, you're not supposed to do that. Diet break would be more like, okay, let's lift these restrictive rules. Let's lift the restrictions. Let's lift the specific macronutrient targets. And let's just eat at maintenance and be flexible with how we want to eat and what we want to eat and not specifically try to overeat. And then what happens within that diet break, you can gain a little bit and that's fine. Gain 1 to 2-ish pounds and that's fine. And then you just get back to the program after that week, after you're mentally refreshed. So that would be a diet break. So maintenance phases are something different than this kind of focused week of a diet break. So maintenance phases is something that, things that can last several weeks. And when you can start instituting maintenance phases, in my experience, if somebody reaches the halfway point towards their weight loss goal, let's say somebody has a 40-pound weight loss goal. If that once they've lost 20 pounds, then you can consider moving from diet breaks to maintenance phases. So maintenance phases, you can take longer than the diet breaks and you can challenge people to hold their body weight or rather, hold their maintenance level, their new maintenance level for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months at a time before going back into a dieting phase. For, and we're beginning to talk about protocol here that has to be highly individualized, but the maintenance phases should be getting longer and longer to the point where the length of these maintenance phases overtakes the length of the actual dieting phases. So if you can picture sort of a surge and a slow and a stop and then the landings, if you can picture the plateau phases or maintenance phases getting longer than the drop phases or these staircase phases, then that's really what progress looks like. Increasing length of the landings, decreasing length of the staircases down.
So I personally have been leaning out a little bit more. My journey, I was a 270-pound lineman quite a long time ago, slowly took it down year over year over year. Now I'm about 219, 218 pounds right now. I'm 6'3". So I'm a bit bigger, but my body leans out. Like my legs right now are so stinking lean, like veins all the way up into my groin, my glutes. It's like insane. My upper body, it's like it's coming off, but it's just so slow. I store my fat in my chest and in my abdomen. Now it's coming down a lot, like flat stomach. Not that I was like over obese or anything like that before. My DEXA, the last time I did it was, I think it was 14 and a half or 15, something like that. I wanted to get it down more, just personal challenge, right? I'm a person that has to have goals and to try things. And so, but I've done it very, very, very slowly. But have you ever seen this where like certain people just hold on to fat forever in certain spots?
Yeah. That's the common occurrence, actually. That really is. And especially with most men, the fat just concentrates around the waistline and basically in the abdominal area, like basically from the chest to the belt line. It's just, that's where it all is. And it will seem like it just stays there, but it's just a body fat distribution thing. When we look at people like champion physique competitors, one of the reasons they're champions is because of the incredible evenness of their body fat distribution just through the body. And of course, it's lower than everybody's naturally, but it's just this even distribution that really blesses them with the appearance of very sharp abs when they're in shape and just normal humans, normal male humans, we just have a concentration of body fat storage around the belt line and all the way up to the chest. And that's just kind of how it goes. And in order for you to diminish that, it would just simply be a matter of continued overall fat loss, unfortunately.
If you enjoyed today's episode with Alan, make sure to be paying attention. We got two more coming with him. We're going to talk about exercise for weight loss, the best type of weight training. We're going to talk about caffeine, nootropics, pre-workout supplements, and what you need to know about these things. So be on the lookout for those. And as always, until next time, be curious, be consistent, and keep chasing excellence.